Special thanks to Visa for sponsoring today's podcast. Visa is dedicated to their vision of being the best way to pay and be paid everywhere. Worldwide, Visa has the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second. Visa helps you get to where you would like to be by making payments fast and easy, wherever, whenever. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
All right, it was a wild World Series Game 6 last night. The Astros jumped ahead early after Alex Bregman homered and proceeded to carry his bat to first base. The Nationals then took a 3-2 lead after a solo shot from Juan Soto, who responded to Bregman with a bat flip to his first base coach. Things heated up even more in the seventh when the Nationals' Trey Turner was called out for interference on his way to first. This led to a 4.5-minute delay reviewing the rule itself and an even longer delay trying to figure out if the game could be played under protest. Nationals manager Dave Martinez was thrown out while arguing that call. And one batter later, Anthony Rendon blasted a 2-run homer to extend the Nationals' lead, and Washington would hold on to win 7-2, forcing a Game 7 tonight in Houston. Whew! You get all that, guys? Skip, how did the Nationals pull that off?
You mentioned it. I believe Alex Bregman pretty much lost the Astros that game and very possibly the World Series by quietly igniting the Nationals in the bottom of the first last night, because Steven Strasburg said after the game he was tipping his pitches. They corrected it after the first, but he was tipping, he thought, in the first. And apparently Alex Bregman knew what was coming because he jumped all over one and just crushed it to left field. But then something happened I have never seen. And for the record, I started covering baseball for the Los Angeles Times when I covered the Dodgers back in the 1970s here in LA. I have never seen anybody carry their bat all the way up the baseline to first base. He tried to hand it off like a baton to the first base coach, and they missed connection. So he actually rounded the bag with the bat still in his hand. So not only was he admiring his blast, but he was carrying his bat, which made this way worse than any exaggerated rub-it-in bat flip at home plate.
Oh, yeah.
This made it the worst. And it crossed the line. I'd never seen anything like it. And neither had Steven Strasburg or Dave Martinez, the manager, and they both said after the game, we did not like it. But that team is united. It's pulled together. They didn't want to make a big deal of it. Alex Bregman, to his credit, made a big deal after the game because he apologized because he knew it was way over the line. And he said, it's not the way I was taught to play the game. But he does handle himself with a very, what I'd call, positive arrogance that borders on cockiness.
Right.
And I think it just ran away with him because he thought that was the blow that was going to change the world, right? That was going to, that put them up 2-1. Instead, it seemed to ignite the Nationals.
Yep.
And they roared back with 6 unanswered runs the rest of the way to win 7-2. Your thoughts on that?
You know, Skip, I agree with you. It's funny how people seem to forget the rules of baseball, all these unwritten rules.
It's an unwritten rule.
When they're doing it. Okay. Oh, that's a rule? And then all of a sudden, now he know you can't, you're not supposed to carry the bat. And Skip, I'm not, you know, covered baseball, but I watch baseball. I know when you hit a home run, you're not supposed to stand and stare.
No.
And you're not supposed to bat flip. No. But carry the ball, carry the bat to first base.
Never seen it.
But if I was Soto, Skip, I'd have hit me a home run. I'd have carried my bat all the way around the bases. I'd have round and hit
first. You know
first.
What? I wouldn't have minded that, actually.
I'd have round second. Yep. I'd have still had the bat in my hand.
I can just picture it.
And I'd have been pointing at Bregman the whole way. But little did he know, Skip, he ignited the Nationals.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had no idea what he was doing. He thought, oh, the fans, because that's going to be the story, Skip. He hit his home run. They win the World Series. He's probably going to be the MVP. Mm-hmm. He took the bat to first base. But what he did, that was their rallying cry.
Yep.
Because look at what happened after he done that.
Thank you. And if this had been a regular season game,
it would have been a fight.
Ooh, well, there,
they'd have beamed him.
The next time up, he would have been ducking. He would have been hitting the dirt because
Strasburg hit him right in the middle of his back.
Right in the high and tight.
Yep.
You are exactly right about that. So this led to the most controversial play of the night, which was the play at first base.
Yeah.
And again, my issue with the play was how long it took to quote unquote review it because
forever.
It's not reviewable. I don't know what they were doing. Yeah. It took 5 minutes, but it seemed like
momentum
50 minutes,
just,
right?
Yeah.
And the air went out of the game. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, Anthony Rendon immediately took baseball off the hook for the blunder of
right.
that whole thing, the
yes.
way it was handled.
Yes.
Because he crushed one, and that sort of rendered that whole thing moot. But to me, Trey Turner was too much in the baseline. He stayed too much in the baseline too long. That's just my take on this. And I think the home plate umpire was right to say you are out
okay.
because it made, even though the throw, what did John Smoltz say on our Fox telecast? He said, we were taught as pitchers to try to hit the runner if he's leaning inside
right.
the baseline like
so
that.
So maybe you can get the call.
And you'll get the call. And he got the call, right?
Man, Skip, I can understand why Martinez was so upset because that could have cost him the game.
Mm.
You lose the World Series on a call like that.
Okay, so this is my pet peeve. I've said this for years about baseball. I still can't believe they let managers get away with throwing that kind of a tantrum on the field because it looked like he wanted to fight.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Didn't it look like he wants to throw down right there?
Let me ask you a question, Skip. Let's just say for the sake of argument, the play that happened in the NFC Championship game happens in the Super Bowl. What the hell you think a coach going to do?
Okay.
He probably going to fight. That's the World Series.
Okay.
That's it. If they lose this game, it's over.
Okay, but if Sean Payton runs on the field and gets in the referee's face and wants to fight him right there, what starts happening? Yellow starts flying, right?
Right.
You would probably, if you tried to fight him, two things would happen. Two yellows would fly.
Oh, yeah,
you'd wind up with 30 yards of penalties,
yes.
and you would be, I assume you could be ejected as a
I've never
coach.
Seen a coach never, get ejected.
I haven't, but, okay, and what would happen in basketball? If Frank Vogel ran onto the floor after that play we saw last night.
Oh, he didn't toss.
He'd be tossed, but he would get two technicals, so it would cost his team points,
yes.
right?
Yes,
and the ball.
Right.
Okay, so there are definite harsh penalties
right.
in place in basketball and football.
Right.
But in baseball, you are allowed to go out and look like you want to fight
right.
the home plate umpire, whichever umpire,
yeah.
right? And it goes on and on, and it went so far, and he's being restrained by the bench coach, restrained, until finally the language probably got so abusive that he says, you're out of here, right?
Because you can understand why he's so upset. This is the World Series. You lose this game and you're going home. There is no more tomorrow. And he's like, I don't feel Turner did anything wrong.
Okay.
And you call that in this game?
Okay, I got that. But I can't believe baseball allows the eyesore of that kind of a fit thrown on the field because
right.
you have a lot of kids watching. I think that sends the wrong message. Oh, you can get away with that?
Well, Skip, there's so many unwritten rules. I mean, we've seen guys, we see Steph Curry shoot a three, he shimmies. We see guys shoot threes, they hold the poles. In the end, if I score a touchdown, I can do whatever I want. We see guys do first down. But in baseball, all the rules seem to be unwritten, what you can and can't do.
Well, you can't show up the other team. You just can't.
Exactly.
Because the pitcher's got a weapon in his hand. That's what happens.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing, though, Skip. That is not a rule in the rule book per se.
No.
It says I can't celebrate after hitting a home run. But.
Which brings us to the losing pitcher for the Houston Astros.
I know.
Justin Verlander is now 0-6 in the World Series.
In seven starts.
And clearly, he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. We know that. He did win one Cy Young Award and one MVP. But he has been much more of a disaster to me in the postseason than the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw. But somehow, Clayton Kershaw takes way more abuse. I don't know exactly why, because it has been ingrained in the national consciousness that he's a choker in the postseason. But Justin Verlander, all he does is come up small in the postseason. In this postseason alone, he's 1-5. So the Astros have gotten to Game 7 of the World Series in spite of Justin Verlander.
Well, Skip, here's why I think Justin Verlander has gotten a break. It's because if you look at him, he leads the postseason in strikeouts. He passed John Smoltz early in the playoffs. But he's 14-5 in the first two rounds with a 2.83 ERA. So when you factor that in, Skip, 14-5 with a 2.83.
Okay, but he's 14-11 overall,
right.
And on the biggest stage, he's 0-6.
Right, but see, they're saying like, where Kershaw, doesn't, and plus he got Skip. Once you get that ring, and that's what he has from two years ago when he won. A lot of things seem to get swept up under the rug about how bad he's actually been.
So Kershaw's 9-11 in the postseason, but he's just 1-2 in the World Series. So he's not 0-6.
Right.
He's 1-2.
Right.
And I do think somehow Justin Verlander gets some pass here because it's not become a big story that he's come up that small in so many big, big stages.
Yes.
Games, right?
Especially the and Strasburg made a name for himself.
He has this year.
Yeah, that's the thing, Skip.
Yeah.
You knew he had the talent. He has a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. He can throw the changeup, the slider. He got all the pitches.
He's got it all.
But can he stay healthy?
Yeah.
He seemed to have put it together now, Skip. And when you do this, Skip, that's how pitchers make their name.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers make the quarterbacks in postseason, pitchers in the postseason.
Mm.
Jack Morris, we saw what he did with the Twins, Skip. He made a name for himself. If you can do it on the big stage in the World Series, you'll Mo Rivera, you look at all these pictures, Skip. When you do it in this stage, in this moment,
that's true.
This is how you live for perpetuity.
Which brings us to tonight, Game 7 on Fox.
I got national.
Scherzer versus Greinke.
I got Nationals.
You do?
I got Mad Max.
Really?
I'm taking Scherzer.
Really?
Yeah. You want some dew on it?
Surprise, I do not, because I also have the Nationals, because I think they have become the meant-to-be team of this postseason. They just keep surviving. I like their togetherness. I like their unity. I like their little kid celebrations they do in their dugout. Yep. I think they have some mojo going.
I agree with you. But anytime that guy, Scherzer, takes the mound, he's a no-hitter waiting to happen.
He's tough, man.
He's a no-hitter waiting to happen. He has electric stuff. Now, he's gonna be juiced, hopefully. You know, he was scratched on Sunday.
He's got a neck spasm sometimes.
But, boy, They were warming him up. They thought they might have to leave in a save situation.
I hope he didn't leave too much in the bullpen.
He coming.
Okay.
He gonna be gay. Oh, I know he's throwing. He's coming out the box throwing 98.
Mm. So in no World Series had the road team ever won 6 games in a row.
Yeah.
And that happened last night. And I think it's gonna be seven games in a row.
Well, it's the first time in MLB, NBA, or NHL.
There you go.
That's fascinating to me.
Fascinating.
And the thing is, the drama that we wanted was not the kind of drama that we got last night. We wanted drama as far as home runs, nip and tuck ball game, not the controversial call.
No.
But we did get a little drama. Bergman, thank you. Mm-hmm. Bregman, thank you for taking the bat to first base.
Mm-hmm. Carry that
Soto,
bat.
That's the way to follow it up.
That's the way to follow it up, and I'm with you. You should have just carried your bat all the way around.
I'd have carried it all the way around.
Yep.
Boy.
Dave Martinez said he did not like Soto carrying his bat, but I think deep down they were like,
you're not finna show me up. Yeah. You think you won't be on TV showing me up, taking your bat, and pretend like, oh, I forgot, and take this, I forgot I had it on.
You know what I'm saying, Skip? What will we see tonight, though, honestly?
How you forget you got your bat? Skip, you run to first base, and you forget you got the bat in your hand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He didn't forget.
Exactly.
He did not forget.
And Soto didn't forget his. He had it either.
Game 7 tonight, 7:30 Eastern on Fox. I am so looking forward to that one.
No mercy.
Anthony Davis and the Lakers had their way with the Grizzlies last night. AD went off, dropping 40 points and 20 rebounds in only 31 minutes. This is the fastest a player reached 40-20 in a game since minutes were first tracked in 1951. Crazy. And Davis is only the 6th Laker ever to have a 40-20 game. And he set a Lakers franchise record with 26 made free throws on only 27 attempts. LeBron had 23 points in the win and said that AD hasn't, quote, even scratched the surface yet. We're now joined by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Mm. Good morning.
Good morning.
How impressive was AD?
Well, I told Shannon, don't worry about the Lakers. They're going to be all right.
Not only is it all right, we already had a parade this morning.
Shannon was up early.
The Grizzlies, right?
Leading the way.
The Grizzlies. Obviously, look, physically, he was obviously great. There's no question about it. Most of his baskets were at the rim with alley-oops. The one from LeBron was a tremendous play. Even the throw that pass, I like that from LeBron, and obviously finished with the reverse kind of layup dunk. But what I liked most physically was his drive into the basket, the dribble drives. And he didn't finish most of those because he got fouled. But I like it. It was like, okay, you don't just have to throw it to him in the post. You don't just have to pass it to him and he'll hit a mid-range jumper or a three. He was taking it off the dribble. And I think they're going to need that ability to create a shot. So I like that from AD. But for all the great physical things, the 26 or 27 free throws, I mean, that's phenomenal.
It is.
Not only, he's a good free throw shooter, 80% career. But mentally, that's tough.
Yeah.
You know, once you've hit 10 in a row, you start, okay, I'm due for a miss. Or, you know,
so that
shows some mental toughness. But more than anything, if I'm a Laker fan, this is what I like most. The fact that he played. The fact that he played through the physical pain of the injury. Because we know that's his reputation. There are people around the league that will tell you he's soft.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he missed 17 games on average over his first four seasons.
Yep.
And so the fact that he played last night was huge. He had every reason in the world not to play.
Early in the year. It's like, oh,
right.
Grizzlies.
It's it's all about the playoffs, load management. Like, nobody really could have criticized. We would have said, oh, here we go again. He's soft.
Especially you.
But it would, you know, but it was a it would have been a legitimate excuse.
I already did. I already told you.
It would have been he had legitimate excuses, yes. I think. You saw him with the thing on his shoulder on the bench. So the fact that he played through it, I think, speaks to two things. One, he wants to dispel that perception.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I think this is the influence of LeBron James on him. And I don't want to turn this into a LeBron discussion, but LeBron is an Iron Man. No matter what you say about him, he's an Iron Man, right?
Yes.
And I almost think there's an unspoken agreement between them. Unspoken. Whereas LeBron is like, look, I'm going to make you the best player you can be. We're going to run the offense through you. You're going to lead us in scoring. Maybe you'll be MVP this year or whatever. It's going to be your team.
Mm-hmm.
What I want from you is 100% effort and commitment. And I think if he's in New Orleans, he probably doesn't play last night. But I think not only being with LeBron in L.A., but being a part of Clutch and having, you know, access to LeBron, just seeing how hard he works off the court, to get in shape, I think that's rubbing off on AD, and I think it was good.
I like the aggressiveness skill because he has a hurt shoulder. Putting the ball on the court, putting it on the floor, going to the rim. You know, you're going to collide, you're going to bang shoulders. Like, you know what? Let me just spell this.
Mm.
Show everybody why Shannon Sharpe picked me to be the MVP.
Mm.
Told you going to be the MVP.
Yeah.
And I believe 28-14 in 2.5 with 56 wins would do that just quite nicely. Quite nicely.
Help me out, my memory fades. How many did you score against the Clippers in the fourth quarter? Help me out.
Skip, that's
0-for-2.
Skip, you do know.
Same amount he scored
last night.
Last night
he scored none last night in the fourth because he watched.
We rested. Skip, you do know you're allowed to have a bad game or a bad quarter.
Against a good team.
It's the first game.
I enjoyed watching that scrimmage against Long Beach State.
When the Phoenix Clippers, he didn't say nothing.
Hey, Phoenix is pretty good.
Oh, now Phoenix is pretty good. It's Charles Barkley and Kevin Johnson.
Right.
But, you know, look, this is what we knew he was capable of doing. And I think the thing is, like you said, had he been in New Orleans, he probably would not have played because it's like, I'm in New Orleans. When you put up these kind of numbers, because it's not like Anthony Davis hadn't had a 40-20 game. He's had a 59-20 game. But when you do that in the purple and gold, it's something about when you do something as a big in the purple and gold, it has meaning, it has value.
Mm.
And now he's playing for something. He realizes that he has a realistic chance at getting to winning an NBA championship. I don't know deep down if he ever really thought that, Skip, because, you know, look, when Golden State had that thing going on, you wasn't coming out of the West. It wasn't happening. Unless two of those guys got hurt now. If Clay and KD had gotten hurt before the Western Conference Finals, not all bets are off. But if KD was healthy enough to play a lot of that, except the Portland series. But Skip, he's phenomenal. I mean, and you know, they started keeping minutes counts in 1951.
Right.
They say this is the fastest anybody ever had a 40-20 game.
Mm.
31 minutes.
Mm.
Can you imagine Skip Bayless? If he'd have played 5 minutes into the fourth quarter, I'm thinking 50-25.
Mm.
A whip. He'd have had a whip average.
Ooh.
In 62, a whip average 50-25 for a season.
Right, right, right.
Skip, he's special. And LeBron says, Skip got upset. LeBron says, we got AD, we're going to play through him. If we're not going to play through him, why get it? He's a liar. LeBron, you think he will leave? You think he's going to do that? Oh, LeBron.
It's early.
Early.
You think it's going to change?
Early.
I'm impressed by LeBron really just conceding the spotlight to him.
I'm glad you brought that up.
There you go.
I found this quote via The Athletic. This is from 2 days ago, so it was ahead of the Memphis game last night.
What did he say?
I'm sorry, the Long Beach State game last night. Oh. This is Anthony Davis on how LeBron has reduced Anthony's workload during games. And here's the quote. This is AD. just knowing that I'm probably going to play the whole third quarter and then kind of sit a little bit through the fourth, I try to tell LeBron, like, this is your time. Just go out and be you. Well, that sounds like, I need you, Robin. Just go out and do your Robin thing for a little while.
You know,
it sounds like he's talking like he's the superstar and LeBron is the second fiddle. That's how that resonates as a second fiddle quote toward LeBron. And LeBron is not going to love it if this kind of stuff keeps up from AD, because it seems like he's big brother to, or aging little brother, you know,
we feeding him. We feeding
him. I hear that. Yeah. That's interesting. I hope LeBron didn't see that quote.
Hey, this is your time. Just go be you. Just go do your little Robin thing for
Skip,
a while.
You see in the first, LeBron not even really looking for a shot. Mm. All he's doing is trying to get the ball to AD. Mm-hmm. He's trying to feed him. I mean, he had 20-12 at the half, so you know it's just a matter of time. Was he going to be able to play long enough to get to 40? Now, I didn't envision 20-8 in the third quarter. Mm. I thought he would eventually get there if the game was going to stay close, but then they end up blowing the game wide open. They go on like a 23-0 run, and the game is over from all intents and purposes.
The third quarter score was AD 20, Memphis 20. Okay? And yet, Anthony Davis scored one basket in the whole second half. One basket and scored 40 points. How did he do that? He shot 18 free throws in the third quarter alone. That's the NBA record because he made all 18. Mm-hmm. And to your point, it's hard to make five straight free throws because it starts working on your psyche. Like, wait a second, I got to make another one? James Harden can get on a roll, but he's the only one I've ever seen do that kind of a roll. He makes 26 of 27, but the key was he makes 18 straight in the third quarter. It's impossible because who's ever shot 18? Right. Nobody ever shoots 18 in the third quarter.
Right.
Do the math times four. What if he shot 18 every quarter? It's over, right? I mean,
But Skip, he only took one shot where they wasn't fouling him. Stop fouling him. You don't want him to shoot free throws. Stop fouling him. Move your feet.
What this could be is kind of a reverse of Magic and Kareem, where Magic carried Kareem. Kareem was older, still productive because of the sky hook. But, you know, Magic extended that championship window for Kareem. This could be that with LeBron and AD.
Okay.
Like, AD extended
that. Kareem did win the MVP of the regular season, Magic's rookie year. Mm. People forget that.
Right. Oh, he was still, early on, he was still in his prime.
All right. I buy that. But I remind you, Anthony Davis missed his two media sessions ahead of last night's game. That will cost him some
money. Me and Bron will
get fined.
Bron and I going to cover that.
But he missed them because they were not sure whether he could play or not. And it was a game time decision, said Frank Vogel, going all the way up to game time last night. But to your point, he played through it. Mm-hmm. In his quote after the game, it was bothering me a lot. It was very sore of his shoulder, which he hurt hanging on the rim on a failed dunk attempt late in the Charlotte game. So he can be a little brittle because that doesn't seem like the kind of action that would cause you to really hurt your shoulder, but you never know.
Right.
And he toughed it out and played, to your point. He did that. Now, will this linger? Will this be nagging?
You know what, Skip? When you think about it, AD was of average height until he became a senior, and then he grew like 7-8 inches.
Well, he's a guard.
Yeah, so maybe he grew too much too quick.
Maybe.
And everything is not connected like it's supposed to be.
Okay, because when you call him a Laker big man, I wince a little bit because I do not consider him that big because he's not that tall, right?
But what is he listed at now?
I think like 16 and a half.
6'10"?
I think he's 6'10.
Yeah, 6'10", 6'10".
And he's got long arms.
But the thing is, Skip, he's not like when you think big, you think of Shaq, you think of Will, you think of Kareem, you know.
Yeah.
So he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't play the five.
No, he does not. Well, he said he didn't want to, and then
until the other night.
To start.
Yeah. Until the other night. It all depends.
To get used to
it. All depends on how Memphis wanted to go small.
Hmm.
Frank Vogel said, thank you.
So here comes Dallas, and then there goes San Antonio on Sunday. Let's see what starts happening.
A little more, little tougher. Because Dallas got the new Nash and Dirk.
Yes, they weren't last night, but they won the game.
They got a big team, too. They throw out Boban. Porzingis and Luka.
Boban, he doesn't need basketball. He's the star of John Wick 3. So.
Boban just stand up on the goal and just dunk it. He just get the ball and just don't even. We ain't worried about Friday because we're going to handle that Sunday.
Sunday. You got something for us?
I have a feeling we'll have plenty to talk about.
Just for LaMarcus.
We got DeMar.
We got some other players.
Oh, y'all got Murray. I just want to know who's going to guard LeBron.
Huh?
DeMar?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, Jamar, he's laughing.
Sorry. I think we all were.
Do you remember what happened to LeBron?
Wait, wait, you should have rephrased that. You mean, who's going to guard Robin? I think DeMar can guard
Robin.
There you go. You remember what LeBron did to DeMar in Toronto? You know, for four straight.
DeMar don't want to see LeBron.
No.
Yeah, but DeMar's got some real help now.
Oh, hell, he has some help. No mercy.
So Dak Prescott, he leads the league in QBR, but some still see flaws in the quarterback's game. When assessing quarterbacks midway through the season, one anonymous evaluator questioned his accuracy, saying, quote, in my opinion, he is not naturally accurate. And when things tighten up, he has games like he did against the Jets. I just think he is a middle-of-the-road guy that's always going to be up and down. Mm. Bucks NFL analyst James Harrison is now with us. James, are you sold on Dak?
I'm not down on Dak as Shannon is, but I'm not up on him as Skip is. So
middle of the road.
He's middle of the road. He's middle of the road.
You know what? This is the first time I've ever heard of James Harrison middle of the road. He just doesn't seem like a middle of the road guy.
He's average.
He's like way over here.
No.
Dak is?
He's average.
Yeah, that's
you want a franchise
that's
quarterback.
Negative.
You're
dismissing.
A franchise quarterback over his whole career, he's got only 7 games that's over, 300 yards. He's got 33 games that are actually over 200, but he's still got 19 games that are under 200 yards.
I mean,
my franchise, he got a defense, he got everything else. He got Zeke. If he didn't have Zeke, he wouldn't have nothing.
I know.
Okay, the Jets game. Let's go to the Jets game. Zeke get 100 yards. When Zeke get 100 yards, they usually win. Zeke get 100 yards and almost a half 100 in the passing game, and Dak still can't pull through and do something to get that that win.
Can he play safety? Help me out.
Listen, I could play quarterback against the 26th rank, the 28th rank, and the 30th rank.
32nd rank.
They made Sam Darnold look like Joe Namath. For one day, he had the day of his life, and he'll never have another day like it.
Okay, and Miami made Dak Prescott look like Joe Montana.
Oh, okay.
And how did he look against New Orleans?
You know, Russell Wilson made Dak Prescott look like Joe Montana in the playoff game. Well, I saw it.
Can he play safety?
Dak Prescott has looked like Brett Favre against Aaron Rodgers every time they play. No, I don't know how it happens, but it just does.
Go ahead.
Keep digging that hole.
Like I said, he is not a franchise quarterback. Okay. He's not a guy that's going to go out there.
He is not a franchise. James Harrison not a franchise quarterback.
Him as a franchise. Quarterback goes out there and wins you games.
Wins without anything else.
He can win it by his lonesome if he has to. He can't do that.
In three and a half years in the league, he has the second best starting quarterback record to that guy up in Foxborough. Second best.
And he has Zeke all the time.
Well, he's had him some of the time.
I had to stop that.
Stop.
Because when he didn't have him, what happened?
Well, they had nobody. They didn't have any defense.
Because here's the thing. This is what I know. In 2016, he had the best offensive line in football.
True.
Had Zeke, led the league in rushing. In 2017, best offensive line in football. Okay, Tyron Smith did go out, but with Zeke.
Skip,
this is where you make your bones. You see, when you don't have...
Was Ty Smith there?
I said Ty Smith.
He wasn't there?
I said nothing.
And they replaced him with Chaz Green, who couldn't block me.
Now that's disrespectful.
Wow.
But Skip.
Well, he's not in the league anymore.
But here's the thing, though. Sometimes great quarterbacks, what they can do.
Okay, wait, you didn't go to 2018. What happened? Zeke's there and he's rolling, man. What happened?
Led the league.
Help me out.
Zeke was leading the league in rushing.
Oh, so they go 3-5 and Zeke is carrying that mail. He's the driving force of that team and
leading the league in rushing.
And what?
3-5. Where was he, Shannon?
The quarterback.
Yeah.
I thought the quarterback was with his arm.
The quarterback had nobody to throw to for the first 8 games. All of a sudden, Jerry Jones said, I'm going to make the move of the year. I'm going to go get Amari Cooper. Boom! My quarterback took off, and so did the football team. And my quarterback was the driving force of the last 10 games, and they won 8 of them.
Okay, you know what, Skip? I'm not going to even go back to last year. I'm going to keep it this year.
No, you can't go back to last year because you can't defend what happened last year.
You didn't win the Super Bowl, so I can go back to last year.
Oh, well, he won a playoff game. Outplayed the guy you said is the MVP right now, Russell Wilson.
I just want to know, why does a franchise quarterback, go three straight weeks... scoring 3 points, 3 points, 3 points in the first.
Well, wait. You tell me that the driving force of the team is Ezekiel Elliott. Where was he? I'm going to turn the question back on you. Zeke Elliott score 3, 3, and 3 in the first quarters of those games? Help me out. He's the only reason that they win.
Hold on,
tell me. You don't have an answer. Where was Zeke?
If you let me talk.
You got no
if
answer.
If you let me talk.
Come on.
This is not about Zeke. Mm. This is about the accuracy. And
It is about Zeke because you're telling me he's not a franchise quarterback and the reason they win is Zeke Elliott. Well, how did they go 3-3 and 3? Help me out. I don't know.
You tell me the quarterback is the most important position. He's the most valuable position.
You tell me it's not.
You
tell me Aaron Donald's the best player in pro football, so you do not accept that premise. That
you're talking about Dak, not Aaron Donald.
Okay. No, I'm trying to explain. He says the quarterback position is the most valuable. That's what I say. Okay. You disagree.
Okay.
You're in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay, well, then tell me this. Why you only scored 3 points in the first half against Aaron Rodgers?
Okay. Well, where was Zeke? Where was he? Was he out there?
No.
You know who I saw? I saw Aaron Jones. I saw him just take the whole game over. Wow. Oh. He's the MVP of the Packers. Other Aaron.
AJ, you see what happened? You see what happened when they lose? Zeke ain't running the ball. Mm. My quarterback, if Zeke can run, my quarterback.
He got to deflect.
Tell me when it's my
turn. It's your turn.
Thank you.
Take off.
Dak Prescott suffers from this myth of inaccuracy that is tattooed on his forehead like a bad label, erroneously, unfairly bad label, tattooed inaccurate across his forehead. And it is so absolutely wrong because over those last 10 games last year, after he got Amari Cooper, he simply led the whole NFL in completions. He led the whole NFL in what are called catchable passes because he's hitting everybody right here. And let's go back to that harsh, sarcastic, negative quote.
It wasn't sarcastic.
It's some lazy quote from some evaluator who just doesn't even watch Dak. And he dug in early on, fourth round pick. He can't throw. He's inaccurate. He probably wrote some report on him early.
You're being very lazy.
Yeah.
You're being lazy now by saying he's being lazy, but he don't watch Dak.
Being lazy because if you watched, you'd give up the ghost on that opinion because it's a ghost opinion.
No, the ghost beat you guys.
Yeah, this quarterback has become the most underappreciated, over-criticized quarterback in the history of this league because all he does do is win, but all he does is keep dominating statistics because I told you what he did the last 10 games last year, and now over the first 7 games this year, he leads the whole league in QBR. You cannot be inaccurate and lead this league in QBR.
Yes, because they factor
just
legs.
Can't.
It factor the legs in.
Pro Football Focus evaluates each quarterback's play through the halfway point. Mm-hmm. They pick their midseason all-pro team. Russell Wilson got first-team all-pro. Second team, honorable mention, Dak Prescott. That's ahead of Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees.
You think Dak Prescott has outplayed Aaron Rodgers this year?
I do.
You would take Dak Prescott over Aaron Rodgers?
I would right now. Going forward, Aaron's getting up there in age.
Going forward,
I'll take him going forward.
Right now.
And let's go back to that Jets game in which this guy just trashes him for. Although, the quote is, Mike Sando writes in The Athletic, that is not necessarily the prevailing opinion. Another evaluator praised Prescott for his accuracy early in the Jets game and came away impressed at the quarterback's toughness after Prescott kept coming back.
Accuracy
after
early, up, down, like he was saying.
There was no up, down because against the Jets, Michael Gallup dropped 3 passes. They dropped 5 total, and they didn't have either star tackle. So Greg Williams said, boy, you would have licked your chops in this game. He just said, we're coming after you every time. Every pass he threw, somebody was hitting him in the face or knocking him down. And all he
did. He leading rushing. He should have ran.
Okay. Well, he can run the ball too, which he finally did to put them back in position to win this game. But all he did is bring them from 21-3 down, and his QBR for that game was 74. Sam Darnold had the day of his life, and his QBR was 68. 74-68. So my guy ended up outplaying him on a day when the defense did not show up. It was pathetic what happened because the Jets ran over my defense.
22nd-rate defense in the Jets.
Here's the thing though, Skip, what I can't understand is that when Dak doesn't play well or they don't win, you always, the tackles weren't there and Zeke didn't do this.
Well, it's just true.
It's just true.
Amari didn't play in this game.
But the great one, Skip, can rise above guys
he did.
Missing.
He did. He brought him all the way
from three
back. He brought him all the way back to a 2-point conversion pass upon which Marcus May mugged Jason Witten.
Just now you're blaming the refs.
We don't have time to go back and look at the play. It's an absolute, he got tackled before the ball
got
there.
Skip, I'm saying, you looking at it like, okay, he throw the ball, receiver catches the ball. I'm saying he leaves yards on the field. It's one thing, James can sack the quarterback, But what James get the added bonus is taking the ball away from the quarterback.
Strip sack.
See, when you just throw the ball and I get a completion, as opposed to Aaron Rodgers or some of these other great quarterbacks throwing to hit the guy in stride and they get a 30-yard catch and run,
saying he has
that's
no
the difference.
Accuracy issues at all? Like, he can't – it hasn't been a bunch of times where he could have put money and this guy –
The best quarterbacks throw a few inaccurate passes a game. I saw Aaron Rodgers throw one the other night that missed Jimmy Graham by 10 yards.
And then with a touchdown.
Thank you. Look what I found. Thank you, God.
Don't do that, Skip. Now, you know good well you didn't compare. I mean, for you to sit there and say you're gonna take Dak over Aaron Rodgers.
I just would. He's played better the whole year
than
Aaron Rodgers has.
That's Aaron like, Rodgers. I can't believe that.
Oh, come
that.
On. You're just overhyping. See, you're trying to remember Aaron
Rodgers
5 years ago.
Skip, the man is 16-2.
Yeah. Well, my guy has outplayed.
12-7.
You want to go back at the three games they played against you? Is it three or four?
Y'all talked about, you called there four of them.
Four times.
He 3-1.
Wow. Yep.
He 3-1.
My guy's outplayed him.
No,
overall.
He didn't.
He has, overall, in those four games. My guy has a better QBR than he has in all four of those games. All four combined. Let's combine them and look at it.
On my menu, I got a short menu. Wow. You come to my restaurant, all you get is dubs and L's.
Yeah.
I took almost and maybe. I took that off the menu.
Well, if my guy had Aaron Jones at running back, maybe.
Zeke is a bust.
Zeke is a right.
So Zeke is a bust. I want to get you on record.
Faster right now? Aaron Jones or Zeke Elliott?
Tell
who
me
looks
who
faster?
Is,
who looks more electric to you? Who catches it and runs with it better right now? What did you see on Sunday night?
Aaron Jones is a different type of running back than Zeke.
Okay.
Zeke is a...
Who
is
looks
a,
more valuable right now?
Okay, take
I
Zeke
think Aaron
away.
Jones
take
does.
Zeke away and you'll find out. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay,
take
well,
Zeke
I,
away.
He's the best I got right now.
No.
He's
let
the best you got.
Even
let
you agree. What
Pollard, let Tony Pollard take it.
Huh?
That politics.
He's a little quicker and more elusive than Zeke is.
Yeah.
Zeke's turned into Earl Campbell. Do you remember Earl Campbell?
I don't know if Zeke is going to take this light.
He's okay. He's the best I got. But
oh,
he's
the best you got.
He's lost a little quickness. And my quarterback just keeps getting better. The quarterback is the driving force.
The quarterback?
Yeah.
Who did they pay?
Yeah.
Who did they pay first?
That's interesting.
The running back, why? Because they knew without him, we had no shot.
Cabo. The quarterback didn't go to Cabo. He could have.
If he went to Cabo, they'd have probably found somebody else in the draft and been all right.
Who's the leader of my football team? Who's one of the best leaders in sports?
We're not debating that.
And by the way, back to the Jets game, that was as courageous a quarterback performance as I've ever seen. And I've been watching football a lot longer than you two combined played football. Combined.
So you just old and
it has to do with performance.
He didn't perform.
That was an unbelievable performance that day.
Skip.
Degree of difficulty with five drops to bring him back to within a 2-point conversion.
Let me ask you.
I just sat back in awe of
it. Let me say this for the sake of argument. Baseball says with World Series. I'm a pitcher.
Okay.
I strike out 27. Mm-hmm. But I give up the game-winning home run. What the hell have I done?
What did the quarterback give up that day? Help me out. Wait a second.
He gave up that L.
Did he throw an interception that day at the Jets?
Did
with
he throw
all
a
that
touchdown?
Pressure on him.
Did he throw a touchdown?
No, well, did he throw an interception?
Did he
These
throw
are
a
the
touchdown?
Negative. Touchdown. You said you gave it up.
Yes.
I want to know what he gave up. He got
he
sacked.
Win.
He got knocked down 12 times. Did he lose the football one time?
No.
Not once.
Did he?
Not once. Did he cough up the football
I need him.
Under fire like no one touched
the obviously in the end zone more than the opposing team?
And then
did he do that?
What did my quarterback do to your Eagles? He just dismantled them.
He did.
Woo.
He did.
I don't know about the Eagles.
But,
they cut up and down.
Dismantled.
Of the four, think about it.
Yep.
That's their best win. You beat Miami. Did you see Miami on Monday night?
Oh,
yeah. I saw him get up 14-0. I did.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
And we saw the head coach zero blitz on 3rd and 20.
But
that
were still, weren't
decision.
They still ahead
22.
At that point?
3rd and 22.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, what about Washington?
With 25 seconds.
What about Washington?
Yeah. They got a lot of good players. Did you see that first team all-pro team? They had the first team cornerback.
Who?
They got the Redskins did.
Stop it.
Well, they did.
Washington should have nobody on no team. Washington should have nobody on no team.
I'll give you that. But the Eagles, you say, are going to win the NFC East. And my team just took them apart because my quarterback played at a supremely high level, just as he did twice last year. So he outplayed Carson Wentz twice, and you say Carson Wentz is better than Dak Prescott.
Everybody said that.
Now, wait a second. Dak Prescott has outplayed him three times and beaten him three straight times.
Okay, we'll see.
Interesting.
You kind of
what you got, Shannon?
You believe the Cowboys are gonna get another four turnover game from the Eagles? Because I don't.
The Eagles? I don't know.
I don't.
Yeah?
I don't.
Well, you better not, or you're going to lose again.
You're not losing.
Yeah.
We're not losing.
That
we're
loves not to play at Philly. He just loves it.
No, he doesn't.
Home away from home.
I know Aaron Rodgers loves playing the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Home, way, doesn't matter.
Definitely.
As a matter of fact, he done something in Cowboys Stadium that the Cowboys never done. He won a Super Bowl there.
He put a hex on him.
He won a Super Bowl.
Something happened.
Hey.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
That's a sensitive area.
My bad. I forgot. My bad. I only know why I brought it up.
Ellie, apologies around here. Shannon is speechless. No mercy. Kawhi Leonard has become arguably the best player in the league and now has two finals MVPs to back him up. Hornets head coach James Borrego was with the Spurs for three seasons with Kawhi and said, quote, nobody saw this coming in Kawhi. Now, Chris Broussard is back with us, but Skip, because we are talking Kawhi, I know this one, it's personal for you in a lot of ways. How much have you seen Kawhi improve?
By the way, he's still number two to me.
Go ahead, Kawhi.
Not there yet.
Here's my bottom line to watching this guy. As closely as I've watched him since he was drafted 15th overall by the San Antonio Spurs. In all my years of watching the NBA, of covering it, loving the NBA, I have never, ever seen a superstar, a potential best player in the game of his time, improve as much as this guy has since he was drafted. Never. Because all the other superstars at least flashed some of their greatness when they were in college, even if it was just for a year. You saw flashes of it. I watched this guy play only one college game, but I did follow him at San Diego State. I watched him play Jimmer Fredette's team in their conference final, and they just blew him out, and they were all over Jimmer. He had a long night that night. Mm-hmm. But this guy did not catch my eye when he played for San Diego State because this guy could really defend, but he was mostly just an athlete who could dunk, a little bit of rebounding, two assists a game. So I didn't see the passing. I didn't see any shooting at all because he had no real shot. So I couldn't see anything that has now emerged. And I definitely couldn't see it after they drafted him 15th overall because that move shocked the whole league and all the draft experts. Nobody saw that coming. R.C. Buford, I always tell you guys, best GM in basketball, has the best eye for talent in all of basketball. You know how he went down and plucked Tony Parker at the bottom of the first round and Manu Ginobili at the bottom of the second round. We could go on and on. But this one, he gave up George Hill for this pick. George Hill? He even got Davis Bertans, who's turned out to be pretty good. They gave him away because they were going to have Marcus Morris on their team, and they got burned on that deal. But again, Davis is pretty good, and he's playing for Washington now. Yep. But they got him back, and they got number two back in this deal for George Hill. I never even liked George Hill that much, so I wasn't losing any sleep over that. But when he first came to the Spurs, he couldn't shoot a lick. And I saw no playmaking skills because he didn't seem to have any passing instincts in his repertoire yet. So for that guy to grow this much, there's never been anything like it before. And I agree with the quote you just read because nobody saw it coming even his first 2 years in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And he did break through in 2014 and win MVP of the finals. But I've showed you, you could have given it to Timmy Duncan, you could have given it to Manu, or you could have given it to Tony Parker. I can make cases for all of them, but they did give it to him. Mm-hmm. And he can defend LeBron, but you always throw back at me, what are the, it's all like 28, 8, 8, 8
28-76.
Right, okay, all right, and I'm with you on that.
And he was a role player that regular season.
He was a role player, okay? So to me, the emergence of this guy that I keep watching from night to night, the other night it was just Charlotte, I give you this, but he's turned into this unbelievable playmaker with Jordan-esque ability to hang and shoot that jump shot.
Yes.
And the Spurs sort of shot coach, if you will, Chip England, taught him a shot, and boy, he keeps taking it up a level and up another level. It is an unstoppable mid-range jump shot. And his three-point stroke is looking pretty good, and he can make free throws, and now he can play make because he's so patient. It's like he's got the game on a string. He waits, and he waits, and then he takes advantage of this, and it's a little slick bounce pass, foul dunk. You know, he is playing at a supremely high level that I didn't see in his first 2 years in San Antonio, and I definitely didn't see at San Diego State, where he averaged 16 points a game.
this is what happens when you get an opportunity, Skip. You have to credit Kawhi for keep putting in the work and for keep getting better and better. But you have to understand,
Skip, he does work at it.
Outside of the injury, he's improved his scoring every single year. And people say, well, I didn't see this playmaking. He had Tony Parker, who had the ball. He needed to be ball dominant. And when Tony Parker went to the bench, who did they put the ball in his hands? Manu Ginobili. So he's a quiet guy. He goes to a team that has Timmy Duncan, mm-hmm. who's a two-time regular season MVP, a three-time finals MVP. He's not wired like Kobe that automatically goes to a team and says, I'm the best player on the team.
Okay.
It's kind of like New England and San Antonio is a lot of light. What players go into San Antonio and New England says, I'm the best player on the team, I'm better than Tom Brady? That's not how he's wired. He goes to Toronto. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry has the ball. So he's not in a situation so he can show you that he can play make. But Skip, when you look at it, it took some guys, it takes longer to flourish. And when they get that opportunity, look at Steve Nash. Steve Nash was just a guy. He didn't make the All-Star until the sixth season. And then once he took off, he was a two-time league MVP.
Yeah, but he was a little bit a product of that Mike D'Antoni system.
And look at Giannis. Look how far Giannis has come. Mm-hmm. Wasn't Giannis a lower draft pick than Kawhi?
I know, but you could see when I first watched Giannis play, I could just say, wow, look at that.
Yeah, the size, athleticism.
Look how skinny. Man, the dude like 7 foot tall and skinny. And James Harden. Anybody that told you, tell you that they saw this coming from James Harden when he was the sixth man in OKC.
No, but I watched him a lot at Arizona State, and he had that slither.
Yeah, yeah,
he could just get to the rack.
But Skip, nobody saw what James Harden is doing. Yeah. I mean, you got to go back. I mean, only a handful of guys in the last 30 years could score the basketball like James Harden. Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Nobody else can do this. Dude averaged 36. Jordan averaged 37-1. That great season he had, and Kobe was 35. James Harden in the middle with 36. So,
yeah, Skip, but trust me, in 2012 against the Spurs in the playoffs, James Harden just took the games over. He was the guy making the daggers when he was the sixth man for Oklahoma City.
But you did see,
I saw it coming.
But you saw it in San Antonio. Yeah. He was all NBA. The moment Tim Duncan left.
I'm talking about Kawhi.
Kawhi. The moment Tim Duncan left, Skip, and Coach Pop put more responsibility on his plate, he's for all NBA twice. He's Defensive Player of the Year twice.
I think Shannon makes an interesting point that a lot of it, now, granted, he's improved by leaps and bounds, but I do think he may have been capable of showing more early on in his career. Because as Shannon said, it was running through the big three in San Antonio. Kawhi was just a role player. And you're right, he didn't look like he had much of a jump shot, but if you look at his numbers 3-point wise, he's consistent. His rookie year, he shot 37% from three, career 38% from three. Now he's at 36. So, right. I mean, he's always, now he didn't shoot it as much,
right.
maybe one and a half, two a game right. early on. But his percentage 3-point wise is the same. And you're right, the playmaking was never asked of him, but you did see it once Duncan and those guys left. Mm-hmm. I remember that series with Houston and Memphis and those guys. He was playmaking like a point forward.
Right.
And they were running through him. So I do think he had maybe more than he could have shown, but they just need him to be a role player. What's interesting to me, I think some players have improved more. Gary Payton, now I know he was a star in college, but when he came into the league, he struggled his first 3 years.
Okay, but I saw Gary Payton in college.
We knew, right, I give you that. We knew, we all knew how great
he was always that.
I mean, he was on the cover of Sports
Illustrated. Sports Illustrated for his mouth. And you already talked about Nash. Stockton, you know, didn't start really like his first 3 years. This is the thing that's intriguing to me. If you go all the way back into the 60s and maybe beyond, the guy that's been the best player in the world, whether you want to say it was Bill Russell, Wilt, or Oscar in the 60s, Dr. J or Kareem in the 70s, Magic and Bird in the 80s, Jordan in the 90s, up to Shaq and Kobe and LeBron. All of them have been one of two things. Childhood prodigies, mm-hmm. where you just knew what they were, mm-hmm. or to your point, they come into the NBA and we know they're supers, like Jordan. Even if you want to say Olajuwon for those 2 years, once when he's drafted, by that point you knew he was a star. This is intriguing to me because I do think Kawhi deserves the title right now, best player in the world. Now, will Giannis take it this year? Will LeBron? Will AD? It's up for grabs. But right now, based on what he did last year, what he's done so far, I think it's fair to say it's Kawhi. Never have we seen the best player, to your point, best player in the world, be a guy that kind of came out of nowhere.
Right, because he did play at San Diego State, and he didn't register.
Right.
Right.
I mean,
he was good in the tournament. I remember he made a little noise.
They won a couple games, lost to UConn, and, but it wasn't like this.
It was kind of like what, you know, Timmy stayed all 4 years.
He did.
But you knew, like.
Oh, yeah.
But you knew when he got his kid, like, this dude's special.
Yep.
This dude is special. Hmm. And being the best player, Skip, I just think with Kawhi's personality, he went in like, I'm happy to be here. I'm not going to upset this apple cart because it's been going along so good.
Yep.
You got Tim Duncan, you got Manu, you got Tony Parker. And how do you come in and say, I'm better than all three of you guys?
Okay, but just I get you. And you're right about that. And he was kind of a shrinking violet the first couple. He's like, do I deserve to be here? He's got shrugging shoulders. His eyes are down. But if he were the guy that you see today with that chest out, if he'd walked onto the floor with his talent as a rookie, those other three would have said, uh-oh, he's that good. Because we've seen guys come in, like when Magic joined the Lakers, they just said, whew, he's the guy.
Well, probably, Skip, if he was a point guard, you got the ball in your hand. But even then, Kareem was the regular season MVP.
Oh, yeah.
So Magic did not just come in and say, oh, it's my team now. Kareem was still throwing that sky hook. Magic, we knew Magic was special because we saw him in 79, Skip.
We saw it.
And then it was that once he got to the playoffs, and we said, it's never going to be Kareem's team again. This is going to be Magic's team.
Here's the interesting thing, too. We mentioned best player in the world. The guys you would, outside of LeBron, who else would you say? Giannis, Westbrook, Steph, Harden.
KD when he's healthy.
KD, take KD out because he's hurt. All of those guys are kind of similar in that, like, Westbrook was a late bloomer. Harden, we saw him at Arizona State, but nobody could foresee this.
I didn't see Russ at UCLA like that.
No, Steph did. I mean, I know you like Steph.
I like Steph, but if anybody tell you that Steph was going to change Steph is a generational transformative player. He got everybody shooting threes now. Ain't nobody trying to dunk.
Well, I did say he should be drafted number one for Blake.
But Skip, I don't think anybody thought Steph Curry would ever win an MVP.
Let alone
be unanimous MVP. Yeah.
That tells me that now, if you have that, there's a threshold of physical ability you need, athleticism. If you have that, and you, with technology, weight training, coaching, the time, if you work that hard, you can become a special player.
Interesting. Yeah. If you have the tools.
Oh, if you're able to.
You imagine R.C. Buford, they don't pop. They like, God dang it, we had this guy. And we could have had
him. He knows better.
We could have had him for another 8 years.
That dynasty would have never ended. Never.
Guys, don't do this.
Now you're okay.
Jeez, Chris, thank you.
They did have KD and the Warriors down 23 in the first.
Oh, no.
You made your point, Shannon. We're moving on.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
How about these numbers? Aaron Rodgers has nearly 750 passing yards and 8 touchdowns in his last 2 games. Oddsmakers are rewarding the QB. According to Fox Bet, Rodgers is now a slight favorite to win MVP at plus 275 over Russell Wilson. So, Shannon, should Rodgers be the favorite?
Skip, right now, I still have him number 2 behind Russell Wilson. And remember yesterday, I said, Skip, they're running neck and neck. I said, they're running. I said, this thing coming out to the wire. And I don't know how much longer Russell's going to be able to hold him off.
Oh.
Because he's doing this right now. I mean, he's 4-0 without Devontae Adams. That's going to wear into the voters' mind. He's doing it with Valdez Scandling, who's a fifth rounder, and three undrafted free agents. Mm. And what we're starting to see is that vaunted defense that was so good early on, they're starting to show cracks. Mm. And so Aaron is having to get into shootouts. Aaron is having to throw for yardage, which, remember, you're an anonymous source. I don't know if he can do it anymore. You know what I'm saying? You can remain anonymous, but I need you to come out and give me that energy. Mm. The energy that you were unsure that Aaron can still do it. Mm. I need that energy.
Yeah.
Come on out.
Uh-huh.
Skip, when it's all said and done, Russell is 6-2 and had a great season. But the thing is, Aaron is 7-1. They're leading that division. I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be really, really hard for Russell Wilson to withstand Aaron Rodgers because he's coming.
So, silly me, I think the other Aaron should be in the MVP race, Aaron Jones. Because he's been carrying the Packers so far. So, the new favorite for MVP in QBR, he ranks 8th in the league. It's not bad, but it's not MVP. Dak ranks 1st. Pro Football Focus ranks on performance so far up to date this year. Aaron Rodgers is 4th. That's pretty good, but it's not MVP. It goes Russell Wilson, Dak, and Wentz ahead of him. So MVP, I don't see it. Then I hark back to that Thursday night game against the vaunted Philadelphia Eagles. Last play, offensive play of the game for Green Bay.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers fails to see little Darius Shepherd break wide open, as we see right here, for the game-winning touchdown toss, and instead he forces it to Valdez Scantling for the game-ending interception. This is your MVP favorite right now. Then the best performance of the year, says everybody, came against the Oakland Raiders defense, which went into that game ranked by Pro Football Focus dead last in the NFL, which leads me to the game the other night against the Chiefs, who are without 5 defensive starters on a not very good defense to start with Matt Moore at quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers pulled off the luckiest touchdown pass of the year. Could we see it again?
Yeah, you see it. I want you to see it.
Here it is. No-look fall away, and I'll overthrow my intended target, bang, Jimmy Graham, by 10 yards. Oh, wait. Thank you, God, it falls into Jamal Williams' breadbasket out of nowhere. Thank you. Look what I found, says Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. And he was man enough to admit after the game, I was trying to throw it to Jamal Williams.
Hey, this is what I know.
That's your MVP. Way to go.
Your guy.
Congratulations, Shannon.
The guy that you want to win MVP is 4-3.
Mm.
The guy that you want to win MVP.
I didn't say
whoa.
I didn't say he's MVP.
No. The guy that you want to win the MVP has 12 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Mm. That guy that we just talked about is 16-2.
Yeah. Is that all you got to put it back on Dak? Yeah,
what?
It's the only way. It's your only loophole here.
Yes, you want to win. But at the end of the day, it's a stat award.
Mm.
You're not winning the award throwing 20 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, even if your team goes 14-2.
Okay.
That's not going to happen.
Stats are screaming that Aaron Jones is the new MVP frontrunner, right?
All of
them. He's playing. That's who's playing.
You see that throw?
Yeah. And which throw?
The one he hit Jamal.
I saw it. He overthrew Jimmy Graham by 10 yards. 10 yards.
It still looked good.
It looked good.
He said the wind actually helped him because it carried the ball even farther over.
In the words of John Witherspoon, who passed this morning, rest in peace. Arrow was like, bang, 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 touchdown.
There you go. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Of one.